Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crossover Daily, SI's daily NBA podcast. I'm your host, Rohan Nadkarni, and today on the show we're talking about the Nuggets' Game 3 win over the Lakers. Is Jamal Murray now one of the top point guards in the league? How concerned should the Lakers be about their half-court offense? And what should we expect in Game 4? Joining me will be CNN's Omar Jimenez. Let's start the show. All right, joining us now on Crossover Daily is an alum of Northwestern University, where he was my classmate. You may know him as a national correspondent for CNN. I know him as OJ the Juice Man, OJ Tropicana, OJ Trop. Please welcome to Crossover Daily my old pal, Omar Jimenez. Omar, how's it going, man?
What's up, man? Wow, that was one of the best intros I've gotten in a long time. So let's save that one, please.
I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing I do in the world is introductions. I'm not that good of a writer, not really that good at podcasts, but introductions, I think I got something going on there.
I love it.
So Omar, in my research for this podcast, aka the last 5 minutes before we went on,
the best time to research.
I discovered that you now have a Wikipedia page, which was such a glow up. That's the ultimate, just the ultimate sign of arrival. That someone went out of their way to make a Wikipedia page. What's it like? How often do you read it? Have you considered editing it yourself?
Dude, I was just as shocked as you were, like pulling up Google, because, I mean, you know, I do Google myself, full disclosure, everyone's
fine. Yeah, I Google myself all the time.
See what's out there, you know, yeah, see what people are saying. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like a full Wikipedia page popped up with my height listed, where I went to school, my parents' names.
Oh, wow.
And I clicked into it, and there are paragraphs. So, of course, I was reading through to see, like, oh, is this actually accurate? And it was literally down to who's influenced my music, down to Childish Gambino. So, yeah, it's pretty surreal. Whoever started that, nice job.
There we go. If you haven't checked out Omar's music, I promise you it's worth it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm desperately trying to get into one of his music videos. I think that it'd be worth your time. All right. Well, Omar right now is here to talk about basketball. And we had a great game between the Nuggets and the Lakers tonight. The Nuggets finally getting the win column in the Western Conference Finals, staving off a huge Lakers comeback in the fourth quarter. Omar, I want to start here because we talk about the Lakers enough throughout the season, throughout the series, and I've been like half jokingly, but I think now like 75% seriously, more realistically, just so high on the Nuggets, no pun intended. I love this team. Yeah. I love what they've come to represent over the last 3 years in the NBA, just homegrown from the start. And I feel like Murray and Jokic have really taken leaps during the playoffs. Jokic, I think, starting last year, has really started to boost his legacy. I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray right now is the best point guard in the NBA.
Dude, Jamal Murray is actually, you know what? Let me start with last year with Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Because I feel like I haven't been paying attention to him in the way I should have been, even coming from his college days. And there was a game earlier this year in the regular season, back when we were in arenas, and I'm forgetting the team they were playing, but he went up for an insane dunk that was called a charge, but he nailed the dunk, so the reaction was still there. And that made me go, wait, Jamal Murray, why haven't I been paying attention to this guy? And then, of course, you couldn't avoid him these playoffs. And so now when I look at Jamal Murray, I see an unbelievably smooth player who, I mean, the dagger shot he hit in the game tonight was a mini step back, a three-pointer from maybe 6 or 7 feet from behind the three-point line.
And he was gassed.
No, of course. I mean, they've played two straight game sevens and then they're coming into this series. And so when I look at Jamal Murray now, I see a lot more potential and future, even to potential superstardom, than I admittedly was paying attention to prior to this.
Headed into next season, I'm putting you right on the spot. You're going to hate this next question.
Dude, I don't care. Let's do it. Let's get it on the record.
Headed into next season, who do you want on your team, Jamal Murray or Kyrie Irving?
Heading into next season? Ooh. That's a really good question. Am I building, is this a team in a vacuum, or am I starting a team around these people?
You're starting a team around these people. That's a good, that's
at
a good
follow-up. At this stage in their career?
Yes.
I think I would still want Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
But in a year or two, I feel like I would lean more Jamal Murray, because Jamal's showing me the sparks of becoming that next, you know, that next sort
of course,
the next tier of player. Kyrie's shown it to me, but he hasn't played in a while. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now.
I respect that. And obviously Kyrie has had those playoff moments. Here's what I'll say about Jamal before I get too carried away, before I anoint him, because I know I get carried away about the Nuggets. He has to show it over a full regular season, this level of attention, this level of commitment. And, you know, there's always the talk about his defense. I like him. Like, he competes one-on-one. Like, he'll guard LeBron if he has to. He has to show it for a full regular season. But what he's done in these playoffs, the fearlessness, it says a lot about these guys that they knocked off a team like the Clippers. And I think for the last six quarters in this series, they've been the better team than the Lakers. I'm not saying that means they're better overall or that LA won't win this series. But, you know, they've given the Lakers a run for their money like no other team has so far this postseason. And I'm really, really impressed with Murray. I want to get your opinion on this, because you're obviously a huge fan of basketball. I know you're close to the game. You're not a casual fan. At the same time, you have a little bit of a different perspective than me, as someone who is maybe sometimes a little too close. How do you feel about a team like the Nuggets? Like, do you root for them in a situation like this when they're going up against a legendary player like LeBron? Or are they just a fun story for you? I wonder how people maybe one half step removed from the game feel about a team like this making the run they are in the postseason.
So I think this actually ties into the mentality, you know, that the Nuggets have said of, you know, you need to show us some damn respect, because I think I was going into this, even I think still have this mentality a little bit of like, oh wow, this is a fun team. This is a team that can make some noise. This is a team that plays, you know, that doesn't quite have the standout superstar like LeBron, but can spread the wealth a little bit more. You know, can go through Murray, Jokic, or anybody else. And so I actually think, as I'm pondering on it a little bit more now, you know who I make comparisons to? And I'm going to bring out my Atlanta bias a little
bit
now.
There we go. And it
might just be because Paul Millsap is on the scene, but it reminds me a little bit of the 2016 Atlanta Hawks when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was like, everybody was kind of a threat, and they played very cohesive basketball. And of course, there were some people that had better games than others, but it was a lot of ball movement. It was a lot of keeping people on their toes. And that team faced LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals at the time and got swept. All right. Sad. Very sad for us. But this team seems to have a little bit more to challenge them in a way
Murray, I think, are just a step up from anyone those Hawks teams has. And that's not to denigrate those Hawks teams.
No, it's right. That's right.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Lakers a little bit now. I don't think that they're worried. I'm at the same time, they have been, I think, outplayed for majority of the last six quarters in this series. It's funny. I felt like tonight was their role players played the kind of game I expected them to have more often in these playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of felt like Rondo. I mean, he had a great fourth quarter, great defensive energy, maybe got away with a couple fouls, but was killing it on the top of that zone. But that's not a great shooting team. What I'm curious, you know, something that I've talked about a lot is the Lakers half court offense just doesn't look completely right in close games. What did you like what you saw from them at the end of the game tonight? Do you think that was just fatigue? Do you think they were just tired from the comeback, or do you see that as maybe a little bit of a weakness? Like, hey, in these tight games, and do you need a bucket in the half court? Do you think they can generate the looks they want?
So this is now the second game in a row that this has happened, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the previous game, obviously the Nuggets were down a lot and they came back and it was a tight game in the end, but they gave the ball to LeBron on multiple occasions to sort of be like, all right, you know, we're up eight. Let's mm-hmm. close this out. And then there were a few turnovers or missed shots in a row there. All of a sudden it was, you're up four. And then of course it ends in the Anthony Davis shot, but that was really a bailout shot.
Yeah. Broken play. End. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of what had been a lot of bad possessions in a row, even though Davis was getting the ball in the hoop. And you kind of saw a little bit of that again tonight. They did the hard work of erasing that 20 point lead at one point and getting it, you know, down to three, I believe it was at one point. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, all right, now what? And
right.
They didn't seem to answer that question again for now a second game in a row. So on your question of whether that's concerning or not, I think, yeah, at this point, I would, at least if I'm a coach or if I'm a player, I'd be looking at that and say, what is going wrong here? Because if we're going to be a finals contender and a potential champion this year, we got to figure out how to close out games consistently. And it's clearly something, at least over these past two games, that they're trying to figure out.
Right. I could not agree more. You know, their offense looks a lot different when they're not getting those runaway dunks.
Yeah.
And, okay, real quick, before we continue, I've been meaning to do this for a long time. Chris Lindsay is our producer on this podcast. He has a great job staying up late on the East Coast, but I actually want to embarrass him tonight because with a few minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, Chris had the audacity to tweet, not that this game is over, but that this series is over. Chris, I want you to just explain yourself right now. How dare you, after all the Nuggets have done this postseason, you come attack them like that? Please explain yourself.
Well.
Not a great start. Not a great start.
Well, okay. So, first of all, like I said, I wanted to, you know, tell the dark secret that I'm actually a Celtics fan. So, in the fourth quarter, when they were going on that 19-2 run, it just kind of reminded me of what LeBron has always done. And like you were saying, they didn't really get it done in the half court when it really mattered the most. I still believe that this series is over, although that they did not win this game. It'll just take another game or two.
Okay. Wow. Just another game for you. Well, let me go back to you, Omar, on that then. How much of a chance are you giving the Nuggets in this series based on what you've seen far? Because a lot of people are saying this is LeBron's easiest path to the finals ever. Yeah. He's just licking his lips, hanging back, waiting to hoist another trophy. Do you feel like it's an easy path, or do you see the Nuggets putting up a fight as we move forward?
So I always thought from the beginning this would be a six-game series. That was my prediction. Okay. I wish I had tweeted it out somewhere, but I'm telling you now, and you got to believe me. but I will say that this game felt like a wake-up game on both sides. For the Nuggets, it was a wake-up game like, oh, you know what? We can play with these guys. I don't know, with all the hype that's coming in, we can give these guys a run for their money. And as Mike Malone says, they believe that they can beat the Lakers. And that's the mentality that you have to have, even if the world doesn't think you can. And then it's a wake-up game for the Lakers, just for the points that you just made, that, oh, this is an easy path for LeBron. Oh, he's just going to waltz into the finals. Well, hold on just a minute. Here's this team that really, as you said, has outplayed them for multiple quarters in a row across two games. They escaped the previous game. Even though they clawed their way back in this one, they really didn't look good over the course of tonight. So many turnovers, and the margin was wide for most of the game. So I think that path, that mentality of, oh, I'm just going to waltz into the finals, has to be erased after this game. And remember that this is still the NBA. These are still the best players in the world. Anything can happen. And if you want to get that fourth championship, if you're LeBron, or that first one for Anthony Davis, you're actually going to have to earn it.
One question that I think it pops up every now and then is the quote unquote, you know, legitimacy of this title run. And I think a lot of people have pushed back against that. You know, the bubble is hard. The mental struggle of it is real. You know, you talk to players, just anyone who's there, they tell you, like, this is not easy, you know, going through this every day. And once again, I feel like I'm denigrating you when I describe you as a fan, because you're much more than that. Like, you know basketball. I know how much you're watching. But again, as someone who's, you know, a viewer as opposed to someone who covers the sport for a living, how have you enjoyed this experience? Like, does it feel vastly different to you, or do you get caught up in the games the same way you would during any other normal playoff run?
So what's weird is I've gotten caught up in the games as much as any other playoff run, and I didn't think it would happen. I think all of us had that weird moment when the bubble game started, as like, this is kind of weird.
Are we comfortable with this? Yeah.
Like, are we comfortable with pumping and noise, all that stuff? But now that, you know, now that we're months into it at this point, it feels very normal. Now, regarding whether this championship will be, you know, viewed lesser or with an asterisk, I'm piggybacking off of other takes around the time that I agree with, that the asterisk is that I do think this is more difficult, because I think the previous things that you'd grown up playing basketball with, the hype from the crowds from high school, college, and into the NBA, the energy that people no doubt feed on to get them to that next level is now completely gone. It now comes down to you and the other five guys that are across that half court from you, and may the best team win. And you're away from family, which may be your morale sort of support whenever you have a bad game or whatever. That's out the window. And all of the normal things that you used to be able to rely on are gone. So now you have to come up with a different way to get yourself across the finish line. And I constantly am thinking about that, even though, you know, they're able to bring some family and loved ones in at this stage of the playoffs. It's just a different world.
Here's my argument and why I think that, in a weird way, this is going to give us the best representation of a playoffs. This is going to sound a little nutty, but if you think about it, there are no fans, there are no distractions, you're playing on the same court every night, you're staying in the same place, there's no travel. In a weird way, if you wanted to create a scientific experiment to find out who the best basketball team is, this is what you do. You'd get rid of all the other variables and you'd basically put them in the exact same situation. Like, there is no altitude. There is no crowd noise. There is no XYZ person asking for tickets in the way they would. You know, it is the fact that I think it is so hyper-focused. And, you know, some people say no home court, you know, hurts the teams that earned it during the regular season. Well, I kind of want to see what teams do on a neutral court in a way that's more exciting to me. Like, prove how good you are. Show me that the fans actually don't make a difference. So that's actually my argument. In a weird way, I think it's almost a better representation of who the championship teams are.
I like the scientific experiment metaphor, because I think Adam Silver has referred to it as an experiment at one point. And I mean, it's been super fun to watch.
A couple more things I want to get to real quick. One basketball related, one maybe not so basketball related. How do you see game four playing out between the Lakers and the Nuggets? Do you see the series going 2-2? Do you see, you know, the Lakers had a little bit of success with the zone in the fourth quarter. Do you see that popping up? Is there any kind of adjustment or new thing you are hoping to see in game four?
I think the Lakers will come out strong in game four. I mean, if we're making decisions here, I think the Lakers will win game four.
Okay.
But partly part of that, I think, is because of what we've been talking about. If we've noticed it, you got to think Frank Vogel and the staff there have noticed it too, about how they've been outplayed. And again, across two games, multiple quarters in a row, about their difficulty scoring in the final few minutes of the game and how that's impacted the final result, where, I mean, we saw how they went either way. You get to the final moments and it's a close game. You could end in a game winner, or you could then, you know, lose by 10. And so you'd have to hope that they are looking at those factors as points of concern, and that they're going to come out and try to correct some of those points, knowing that with a team like Denver, if you give them an inch, they're going to take it a mile. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to give a team like that momentum. So if I'm LA, you have to realize the stakes of this next game, that in some ways you have a chance to define the series, even though I guess the Nuggets have come back from 2-3-1 deficits in a row. But as Lakers, again, you have to treat this next game like the series is on the line, because I think if you let it get to 2-2, you're playing with a lot of fire there.
For sure. I'm really curious to see how the Lakers respond. I've been saying, I just want to see an opponent of theirs really force them in a half-court game and without crazy defense like the Rockets, or an unconventional defense like the Rockets, I should say. So I'm really curious if Denver can again get them to play that kind of tight half-court, more classic style of a playoff game in these fourth quarters, and if the Lakers can succeed that way. Now, Omar, I've been meaning to ask food questions on this podcast, but we get so wrapped up in the basketball content that we don't always get time to do it. But you'd be a great guest, I think, to hit this question with. Now, for as long as I've known you, you've been someone who I think likes to frequent Chick-fil-A. I mean, they make great sandwiches. No one here is disputing that. I'm curious, though. We've seen a lot of contenders in the spicy chicken game lately.
McDonald's has got it now.
Popeyes has got it now. Burger King's got the spicy nuggets. Wendy's has always had one. Is there still a clear cut number one for you, or are you starting to feel the walls close in a little bit on your, precious Atlanta favorite?
No. First of all, the walls are not closing in. second of all, I do still view that Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich as the or spicy chicken biscuits, whatever time of day you're choosing, as the as the number one seed. Now, I think there are a lot of contenders, a lot of people out there, but when you look at consistency over the course of years, when you talk about just the amount of times I've been there and the amount of joy it's brought me personally, I do think, and just the presentation, it's such a clean presentation that I think it stands out above the rest. And we got a number one seed. People have made some noise, but they haven't knocked off the champ.
Well said, Omar. Well, you are a champ for staying up late and doing this podcast with us. This was so much fun. You have an open invite to come on whenever you want, man. It was so much fun talking hoops with you. Again, I know you guys have probably, if you've watched the news at any point in the last 6 months, you've probably seen Omar on your TV. Go to yourself, give his music a listen, follow him on Twitter. Omar, thank you so much for taking the time to do this, man.
Dude, yeah, thanks for having me, and let's do this again. Let's see what happens with these playoffs. It's been a fun one to watch.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.